welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
Hallelujah. Well, this is a growing church. And it's when you're growing, you're doing everything at once. So we're going to report back on the adventure on the streets yesterday. That's just coming up soon. But before we do that, you see, the thing is, as the church grows, we also need to be praying. And as we're praying for the family. It's highly significant that God has spent an entire year telling us that it's all beyond us.
That's right.
And we can only do it if we do it in His strength. Okay, so that means prayer. And that means stepping out and doing things that are really, 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 really totally beyond our comfort zone. Going on the streets yesterday is way beyond my comfort zone. Ringing in my ears, it's just Jesus saying, take up your cross and follow me. And I'm trying to think, in what part of that sentence can I find remain in your comfort zone? And it doesn't seem to exist. So I just kept, and every excuse was present. Like, it was pouring with rain. Brilliant. Nobody's going to listen. It's no point. We'll just do the training. This is all going on in my head. You know, I could pretend I'm busy. I'm a pastor. Yeah, I really did think that. Sorry. I was going through all the different excuses to sort of prevent me from having to go on the streets. And Donna, I was teamed with Donna when we went out, and she said to me, how can you be scared of doing this? You're a pastor. I said, because I talk about Jesus in a church, not on the streets. Hallelujah. And she was thinking, oh good, before she knew this, she was thinking, oh good, I'm going out with a pastor, he'll do all the talking. And I'm thinking, oh good, I'm going out with Donna, she's good at relating people, she'll do all the talking. Anyway, but this means it's also crucial that we are praying for the family. And so we've got a bit of a new initiative just to enable us to be covering everything in prayer, because it's so important that we do it this time. All this truth that God has been speaking into us over this past year is for now.
Yes.
It wasn't just so we felt good about being a masterpiece. It's so we're equipped.
Yes.
It's so we can stand, and so we can go and tell people there is good news.
Amen.
You know, everybody's a totally, there's a lot of uncertainty right now. Okay, the only people that have got absolute certainty are Christians who are trusting God.
Yes.
There are some Christians who are not trusting God and are joining in with the confusion and everything else. That's not our purpose at all. Our purpose is to show there is a way, there is a truth, there is a life, regardless of who leads the Labour Party or the Conservative Party, or whether we've left or whether we've remained. One thing that is consistent is the Alpha and Omega, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Amen. And so in the midst of all of that, we need to be praying for us and praying for us, because it's time to go. What we have begun will not stop. Kate, come and talk about those things on the... with granddaughter.
Yeah, well, that's quite apt, actually. This prayer initiative actually came out of the Pentecost prayer. And due to one thing or another, we haven't been able to actually put it out to you. But it just seems that this is the right time.
Yeah,
so God knew. So during the prayer week, this verse was very strong, John 15:16, where it says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you.
Amen.
And so we've actually made these little prayer cards. Now, if you're under 8, you can come and tell me the spelling mistakes. If you're over 8, get over it and just pray. Okay.
Oh, yes.
But actually, the idea is that we've split the family up into different generations, and we've taken different days, and we're just asking, just pray for a few minutes each day. Just pray each day. And we're going to do this till Days of Favour, which is 10 weeks away, the 20th of September. That's just to scare you to say that summer's over in 10 weeks, by the way. So, yeah, Mondays, it's going to be infants. So it's quite apt that I'm holding Samantha in my arms. And
yeah.
Let's pray for our infants, you know, and 0 to 5s. And some of those will be starting school. And not just the infants in our church, but the infants in our communities.
That's it.
And a lot of those will be starting school for a new time. Some will be starting playgroup for the first time, or nursery for the first time. Things like that. Then our children, our sort of primary school age children, 5 to 11s. Some of those will be starting big school. secondary school in September. Again, a huge change in their lives. Let's pray for them. Let's get behind them. Those of them that you know that are within this congregation, but again, those of us in the wider community. And then Wednesday we have the youth, the 11 to 16-year-olds, and everything that they're going through. Choosing options at school, exams starting and stuff like that, and starting the whole last 2 years of school before GCSEs. And then we've got our young adults, 16 to 30. Some of them will be starting sixth form. Some of them will be leaving home, going away to college. Lots of different things. Some will be coming to university. Within that young adults age group, some of them are getting married and having babies. I mean, it's a huge age group, that. So there's loads to pray on a Thursday or a Thursday, if you follow this. Fridays is the adults, the 30 to 60-year-olds, and everything that's going on in their lives. And I leave that to you, because a lot of you are in that section and you'll know. And then the Saturday, we've called them the renewed adults, our 60-pluses. Let's pray for them, and let's pray for them in our community that are that age. And then Sunday, the whole family. And the idea of the big trees here are, if you get a verse or you get a picture or you get a word, write it out on a piece of paper and come and stick it on the right colour of the tree. And then we can build up what we're getting over the weeks for the different generational groups. So thank you so much.
Amen. Praise God. I can leave that there, Martin. Praise God. We'll leave it there, so it's there to remind us. Sorry? The children are going to be praying for us as well. It's a whole family thing. And obviously, this is going to run out of room, but there's more youth prayers, for example, grow, you can just make the branch grow longer and longer and longer and just sort of overlap them. It'd be quite fun, wouldn't it? So... as we know, Claire preached up a storm last weekend, didn't she? Hallelujah. We're very blessed to have her in this church. We're not letting her go. And she says she's not going anywhere. it was obvious we needed a response. And it's hard to believe that, a week has gone past since Claire preached. There was no time to sort of have Sunday announcements and Sunday things like, right, let's just go. There's just times to be responsive, isn't there? So we did what we normally do when things are like that are happening, or in fact, most of what happens, we put a notice on our Facebook page. Now, you might not be a fan of Facebook, you might be scared of Facebook, but I can assure you, you can look at the Kingdom Faith Yorkshire Facebook page without even being a member of Facebook. So you can just bookmark it, save it as somewhere you can regularly go and look. Of course, the advantage of being part of the page is most of the time, anyway, Facebook does funny things these days, but most of the time, Facebook will let you know when something new's gone up, so you can go and have a look and see if it's relevant to you. So it is worth it for that situation. So we put it on Facebook because we felt we've got to go. We've been sitting around too long. Well, we haven't really. We've been doing all sorts of things, haven't we? But we've been evangelizing here in the Mission Hub, if you like. And that's everything that we've been done is not replaced. This is part of what God is building, because this is the time to just increase the numbers of people who hear about Jesus. Because one thing that's severely lacking out there is an informed choice. And that's part of what we're doing. But as I said, to me anyway, maybe you're totally comfortable and easy with it, but the thought of just going on the street, I mean, I don't like talking to strangers full stop, let alone about Jesus and, do you know where you go when you die? Would you like to become a Christian? All these things, you may think, oh, it's easy for you. It's not. I really don't. I'm quite an introverted person. So going up and talking to people and being Mr. Extrovert, I find it exhausting. At the end of the hour, I was absolutely, excited at the end of the hour, but also... Donna said to me, oh, at least it gets easier. And I thought, well, I didn't notice. Hallelujah. But, as I said, a little bit back, wherein take up your cross and follow me, does it say remain in your comfort zone and do just what you feel like? I knew I had to go because it's the season we're in. I won't be going this Saturday because by complete coincidence, Kate and I are on holiday. But so that's the next notice, really. This is kind of notices and kind of preaching. It's all mixed up in one. Is that this Saturday, the team's going out again And when I say the team is just us. You know, it's whoever comes. There'll be a session of training again. The training was great. Claire just really just helped us to put some tools in our hand and enabled us to go. And we've got some great little cards which offer people a free tea or coffee at the hub. And that's a really, actually, relatively, even for me, easy way to go up to somebody and say, we're from the hub at the summit, would you like a free tea or coffee? And then you just go from there. Have you ever thought that actually God thinks you're amazing and that he created you in his image and you're actually his masterpiece? Most people don't expect to get that from God people. They expect to be told to repent there and then. So we're just going in with the full message of the gospel that actually God did make people in his image. We've fallen away from it, but we're still made in his image. And he does think they're amazing. He thinks they're so amazing. He thinks they're so awesome that he sent his son to die for them. So how could we possibly think they're not amazing? You know? And Jesus came to pay that price to enable everyone. God loved the world so much that he gave his only son. How many people know John 3:16? That whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So I walked in through the... Well, no, I drove in. In fact, the car's still parked here because my plans went awry and I've never actually driven the car home since yesterday. So I must remember to pick it up after this service. But I drove in the car because it was raining and I was trying to think of maximum excuses to not go out on the streets. One of which was I could take the car home. That was a pretty weak one, but, you know, I was desperate. I hope I didn't completely show this desperation. I was late. Yes, that was part of it. You know, when you're reluctant to get there, you think, well, I'm going to be late. I'll embarrass. This went through my head. You know, I'm going to be so late as I'm ordering a coffee down here, already late. I'm so late that maybe I just shouldn't go in the room because I'll embarrass Claire. Oh, how we make up excuses, eh, to avoid doing what we know we should be doing. And when I'm up here saying, let's go on the streets, I just want to share that's what it's like for me. Because sometimes if you're like me, you feel like totally unequipped. That's totally impossible. That's totally not me. It's all right for him. So I just want to let you know, if you're like that, we're all in the same boat. And it really is why Jesus has been telling us for a year from Nehemiah that it's all beyond us. You know, it is. Some people find this sort of thing easier. Elka, let's bow down and worship her, except we're not allowed to, because she loves it. She infuses it and she just makes it all sound so easy and makes me all feel so rubbish. But that's not true. But she's just so good. You know, Mark, wasn't it? You stood under because it was raining. I mean, you don't go out when it's raining, do you? She stood under this shelter talking to people, and me and Donna came across them, and she said, oh, yeah, it's really good because people come and stand here and talk to you, and you get a real opportunity because they don't want to go out in the rain. So we thought, that's cool, we'll copy them. And it was quite a long thing that they were standing on. So there was a guy standing at the other end, so we thought, yeah, we'll go and talk to him. And we talked to 24 people on the streets, and he was the most uninterested of every single person we met. So you can't copy someone else's ideas. Do you know what was amazing? Was that 21 people turned up on Saturday in the rain, probably some of them feeling just like me, to say, yeah, I'll go on the streets. Isn't that amazing? That's a sign that God is doing something. It was just so exciting, and a lot of us really didn't know what to do. There was probably about half of the people in the room had said they had done something like that before, but that's a half is not that many, really. And I was really encouraged. I got some statistics because we were recording some of the things. So we talked to lots of different people, but when there was a real meaningful conversation and people were really interested, we recorded names and remembered names. So that means that there was there were more people that were encountered than this, but this was the sort of meaningful, significant conversation type thing, and also remembering names so we can continue to pray for them. Well, according to the statistics, we had 41 of those kind of conversations. That's a lot, considering if we hadn't gone out, there'd have been zero. And two people prayed a prayer of commitment to become Christians. So isn't that awesome? And people that make a prayer of commitment, we're taking their details so that we can follow them up. So, you know, they didn't just wander off. I mean, it's fabulous. We've got such a resource with this building being open every day except Monday that even when we go out on the streets, even if we leave people, we're telling them we've come from here. So there's that point of connection when you're open that people can come back. And we were writing our names on the cards that we were giving out so that the hub team know when they come in, oh, this is somebody that's been chatting. But also, if we happen to be in, which I bet a lot of the time, I wouldn't be surprised if God does a few of those coincidences. Brian or Ruth on the hub or whoever's on the hub can say, oh, yeah, Claire's in today. Did you want to see her? Wouldn't that be great? Yeah. So let's pray for that hub team too. You know, we're going to be because we're doing that. But pray because they're going to be leading people to the Lord. Hallelujah. So we're giving out those cards. There's 160 of those little cards we've given out, the free tea or coffee cards all together now. And we're not giving them out on the street corner saying, free tea or coffee, free tea or coffee. We're trying to engage with people. We're not just giving them out to boost the hub business, but also to try and provide connections. Because this is what's lacking. People have got no one to actually, they don't know. One chap, I think it was you, Brian? I don't know, I can't remember. You spoke to someone who said he'd never met a Christian. And he had a lot of questions for you. That was actually on the Friday, wasn't it? Yeah. So it's awesome. That's happening at 10:30, meeting here. And you'll go out for about an hour. For me, an hour, and I was exhausted. Some of you, you'll be able to go out for much, much, you know, you'll want to start going out for longer. And we're not going to control it. You know, there's can be other opportunities to go out on the streets. But one thing that we don't want to do, one thing that I'm certain of now is that this has started. And we're going to be a church that's doing this all the time. Because it's time to take the good news to our town. And I know lots of our town come here, and that's absolutely awesome. But this isn't, it's not an or, it's a both. You know? So we met quite a lot of people that were fully aware of where the hub at the summit was, and that's exciting. But this was the next step. Claire, come and just tell us a bit of, I know I haven't asked you to do this, so you're going to go into mild panic mode, but just tell us a bit more about, I've said Saturday, but I know you've got things going on in your head and you haven't got absolute plans, but where are we going with this? What do you see God doing on the spot? Record it.
Yes, it's being recorded as well, isn't it? I think we need to pick up momentum. It's about momentum, and I felt the Saturday was very much about, well, we gave the gospel to 41 people, so it was actually about that. There's 41 people that know about Jesus that didn't know about Jesus in the same way before we spoke to them. But I still felt the Saturday was quite a lot about us. It was about starting to build momentum. It was about saying, come on, guys, we can do this. And I was so impressed with the people that came, and you were all so brave and had such great conversations. So my heart is really to build momentum with this. So for me, the weather was lousy. 41 conversations in the rain. That was awesome.
That was incredible.
So if the weather is good sometime during this week, and I'm actually around, I should probably put something out or text people around and say, look, we're going to go out, and just try and be a little bit spontaneous with it. So we'll keep the Saturdays where we can. But if you want to actually be able to get involved in anything spontaneous, because the more we do it, it is true, it is still hard, but the more we do it, the more natural it's going to be. For me, it felt like my comfort zone had gone out of sight, but the more I do it, the more my comfort zone might come back into sight, and it might become, you know, a little bit easier. So the more we do it, it's going to get easier. Over the summer, over August, it'd be brilliant to be out there as much as we can. So there's a couple of people that have had prophetic words about sort of September, October time being a real time of harvest. And I really believe from now until September, beginning and middle of September, is going to be building momentum, getting ourselves stronger, know what we're doing, feel confident with what we're doing, just getting out there. And then come September, October, I really believe we're going to start to see fruit and harvest coming in a much more significant way. So my advice is get involved now, because if we get to September and you're suddenly like, oh, I want to get involved in this, what have I been missing out in? You're going to suddenly feel a little bit like you're on catch up. But if you join in with the momentum gaining now, whilst we're all feeling totally out of our comfort zones, whilst we all feel, apart from one or two people, we all feel like this is way beyond us, we're all in it together, and let's be in it together. And as Pastor Paul said, it isn't an either or. It's still about building relationships. It's still about talking to our friends. This is still about everything that we've been doing. But we also, this is the time for us to be on the streets. This is the time for us to be saying, Scarborough, we're here. Because there were people, like the guy Brian and I talked to on Friday, I think he was quite excited to actually meet a Christian that he could talk to. It was a bit of a pointless conversation in some respects. But he met a Christian. There are people that have never encountered a Christian. You know, so we need to be that person, and God will lead us to those people.
Amen. Yeah, it's good. Do you want to add anything, Brian? You're all right. That's a miracle. That's never happened before.
Sorry, Kate's just said. So, yeah, can you let me know if you want me to keep you up to date with what we're doing and when we're going? Can you contact me with your mobile number so I can text you? Obviously, I'll put stuff on Facebook, but I know there are some. And the other way, I'll communicate through Life Team Leaders. Sorry, Life Team Leaders, you may have text to be sending out.
If you do become part of Facebook, or you're part of Facebook and you see something come up on it, it's always worth clicking on it, because the way Facebook works is if things come up and you don't look, it thinks, oh, you're not interested in those. So later on, it won't show you them. It's got sort of algorithms that nobody's supposed to know how they do it, so you can't sort of fuddle it. But that's certainly true, that one. And it also does restrict the number of posts that we can put up, because if we put lots of posts on there and then they don't get looked at and they don't get read, Facebook says, oh, they're contacting lots of people who are not interested in what they put up, and so they don't put out what we put up as often, or if at all. So it's all a bit of a Facebook game. So if you do join, do click on it. Perhaps even if it isn't something you're interested in, just to keep those clicks up and just to keep the Facebook page really ticking over. And we're quite blessed, actually. It's many businesses would give their right arm for the activity that goes around our Facebook page. But occasionally, we've seen a real drop-off because we've put up a lot of posts because there's a lot happening, and so not so much gets clicked on. And it's quite, you'd think it would grow, wouldn't you, because you're putting more up. But you have to be careful and not put too much up, or actually you will reach less people, because what they want you to do is pay them more money to advertise, you see, which occasionally we do some of that as well for effective things. But we don't want to be doing that with everything we put up there. Here endeth the Facebook lesson. But Facebook is the marketplace. We're reaching people through what goes out there as well. And you can share on your own pages, you know, things that have gone up there. And that's what happens. And then it gets out to more people. Sometimes the statistics come back, and it's amazing how many people have been connected or seen that post in some way. You know, it goes into thousands sometimes, and that's incredible. So that's all part of what we're doing. We really are in a different point, I think. You know how we want to see revival, we want to see successful mission, we want to see miracles, we want to see healings, we want to see people getting born again, and God saying, yeah, I'm up for that, off you go. You know, we can't wait for the super Mr. Big to walk in and preach up a storm, and then everybody gets saved, and all we have to do is sit in the chair and go, hallelujah, brother. You know, it's not going to happen. Because it's us. This is the time of us, the church, really realizing that we are the kings and we are the priests. And actually, Jesus has called every one of us. We're not all called to be evangelists, just in the same way we're not all called to be apostles. And we're not all called to be pastors and prophets. But every Christian is called to pastor others. Every Christian is able to prophesy. Every Christian is able to evangelize. Okay, because we have the Spirit of Christ living in us, the Holy Spirit. How could we not be capable of these things? And I know you might feel excited and envisioned, or you might feel afraid or scared, but do it anyway. I really recommend it. But just to leave that, also don't feel condemned if you don't get on any of these things. It's okay, we're free. All right? If you're going to sit at home and make cross-stitch patterns, it's fine. No, We don't use shame, as Brian reminds me. We don't use it. No, honestly. It's just about encouraging one another to join the adventure and not judging one another as always. But yeah, I'm really excited. 21 people turning up in the rain to go out in the rain to talk about Jesus on the streets of Scarborough. And the people we met were so friendly. Even the ones that weren't the slightest bit interested in Jesus, they were still friendly. I was amazed. I don't think it will always be that, you know, we're going to meet some people that don't like Christians, but we didn't. It was great. We met one chap who, we had a very esoteric conversation. If you don't know what the word means, that's a bit like the conversation. And there was a sense of have we wasted our time in a way talking to him. But it was funny that as we came back down the high street, he was the one person who was still standing there who called us over because he wanted to talk a little bit more. So you don't know what seed you sow. We want to reap, but we're also sowing. We're doing both at the same time. But I really believe this is going to be a time of sowing because it's a time of going. You know, and that's when you see these things happen. You can pray for the, you know, we need to pray for the miracles as well. We were praying with people as well as telling them about Jesus. And that's another significant thing, offering to pray for people. And showing no judgment for what they believe. I mean, as this chap that we met, that I just mentioned, his beliefs were very, very different to Christianity. That's all I could really say. A kind of paganism, I guess. But, you know, as I said to him, and I said to him quite truthfully, I think it's really good that you've thought of some of these things through. You've thought about eternity. You've thought about what happens. And it's good to meet somebody that has thought about it. You know, because we can't just mock them or write them off. They're not. He wasn't unintelligent. He didn't come to intelligent decisions. But he didn't really know who Jesus was. He didn't know that there is actually a way and a truth and a life. And maybe that was the beginning of him exploring a little bit more. He was really into journeys. And as we left, I left him with, it's been, you know, a great conversation. You talked about journeys a lot, but where's your journey end? Where are you going? And it wasn't like I won a wonderful argument, but you knew you'd left something that was a little God thing that was going to bother him. You know, he sort of, oh, it doesn't matter where the end is, we're just on a journey. But I knew it bothered him. And that's good, because I would like him to think, where is he going? Because I said, I know where I'm going. I'm certain I know where I'm going when I die. But do you? And anyway, so it was good. I recommend it, even though it leaves you exhausted and slightly shaky. Apologies if you're disillusioned because you think I'm a superhero. And I appreciated that you didn't all shout out. We didn't. It's 20 past 12, and I knew we were going to talk about this. I knew we were going to talk about mission. And it's one of the reasons I asked Dave at the back to record everything this morning, because I think it's all kind of the message anyway. It was really good, some of the worship that Nigel, it's lovely when the worship leaders pick songs that agree with what you're going to preach. You sort of think, yes, I've been hearing God. This is great, there's something here. And the one that really stood out to me actually was Amazing Grace. I always love singing Amazing Grace because it's an old hymn. I know that we've tattified it a little bit around the edges with the way we do it. But I love singing that old hymn because it's great words, but you also know people have been singing it so long and meaning it so long. And I don't know if you know the circumstances of John Newton that wrote that hymn. I'm not really going to go into that today, but he was a slave trader. And that's why it says about being a wretch, because he really knew he was a wretch. He really knew that what he had done was terrible. He'd carted slaves around in his slave ship. And so when he got born again, praise God, that changed. But when he got born again, he really knew the meaning of grace and the fact that it was amazing, because he knew that He really didn't deserve what Jesus had got in any way whatsoever. But then when you sing that hymn, that's it. That's what it's about. But I like the bit that's there about my chains are gone, I've been set free. You know, thank you. And because this message we're taking to the streets is a message of freedom. It is a message of freedom. It's not a message of you've got to get in line, you've got to do this, this rule, this rule, this rule, this rule, this rule. Jesus came to fulfill the law and show the way of freedom. All right? And I just want to share a little bit with you this morning from the book of Galatians. This is the Passion Translation, and it's just some of Paul's letters. I just thought I'd read it from here because it's a little bit different, and maybe we'll get a little bit excited about what Jesus has done for us. You know, because it's amazing what he's done for us. We are free. Amen. We are free. Yes. All right. We sometimes forget that we're free because the world is not free and we live in it. And it imposes its restrictions and its ways upon us. But actually, we rise up above that. We get, even the demonic can come in and try and drag us down. But you know, the place for the demonic is under our feet. Because Jesus has already won the victory. Disease and sickness and poverty can try and get into our lives. But do you know who is truly free over those things? It's those that follow Jesus. But you have to follow him. All right? It's not just a question of saying, yes, Jesus, I make you my Lord and Savior and I will live my life exactly as I led it before. Or I make a token effort to go on a Sunday. It's about remaining in him. It's about dwelling in him. It's about knowing his word and living the word. And then you know the freedom. Now, you can have absolute freedom to drive a motor car. Unless you haven't got a license, and I don't recommend it on our current roads. But let's say you've been licensed. You've been given the license to say you are permitted to drive a car on the streets of the UK. It's nothing like Jesus, but the similarity is, when you got saved, Jesus said, you now have the freedom to live the Christian life. And you could take your car license and you could bomb down the motorway on the wrong side of the road because you are completely free to do that in one sense. You can just go down the wrong slipway, head down on the wrong side of the motorway, and cars will be flashing their lights and honking at you, and you may well have an accident that will kill you. But there was an element of which you were free to do that. Nobody stopped you until the men in blue come along, of course. You were free to do that. But your true freedom as a driver comes when you learn to live by the guidelines, by the rules of the road, which says drive on this side, you'll find it a lot easier. And you won't hit so many things. And you won't probably die and kill others. But you know, that isn't that dissimilar in some ways to Christianity. We're not restricted by laws and regulations, but he still shows us how to live. Because then we're driving on the right side, on the left side of the road. We're driving on the left side of the road, which is the right side of the road, so that we don't hit anything. You know? If we use our freedom that Christ has given us to live exactly how we want to live, we're going to hit things. We're going to crash. We're going to cause accidents. We're going to cause hurt to other people. Because although we have been set free, we're set free to drive on the left. Amen? I know there's all sorts of thoughts in that analogy, but there's also lots of things to just ponder on. So when we're talking about freedom, it's not a freedom to do exactly as you want. It's a freedom to make a choice to follow Jesus, to take up your cross. Let me be clear, says Paul. Christ has set us free. In the Passion Translation, it uses the translation of Christ. It says the Anointed One, which is literally what Christos, the Greek word, means. The Anointed One, the Chosen One of God, the one who has been anointed. Who in this room is anointed? You great bunch of believers, absolutely. The Holy Spirit is on you. God has anointed you. So this is also true that you, as the anointed ones of God, are free because you've been set free. You are free to live life as you want to live it. But Christ says, here, follow me. This is the way. Let's drive on the left together. I'll preach this message in the rest of Europe. Sam, you're hearing the word. Drive on the left. It's the one true way. Okay. Has set us free, not partially, but completely and wonderfully free. We must always cherish, great word, this truth, and stubbornly refuse to go back into the bondage of our past. Now, if the church lived like that, we probably wouldn't need to preach the rest, in one sense, because that is awesome. But what it does show is that no matter what God does in your life, you can receive great blessing, you can have amazing feelings, you can have great teaching, you can be filled with the Holy Spirit, you can be healed of a terminal disease or of an illness that's severely restricting. You can be set free from poverty. You can be given a wonderful job. You can be removed from a wonderful job. All these things can happen to those who are saved. But it says here, stubbornly refuse to go back into the bondage of your past. That means it's possible. You can choose. You're free to step back into how you used to live. And do you know the way that that first starts to happen? It's in here. Yeah. You start to think it. You start to think things are still the same. Something comes along. Something bad happens. Maybe you lose your job. Maybe you have a diagnosis from the doctor that is in opposition to this. And you start to think, oh yeah, there, the doctor's right. I don't have, the bank manager's right. I don't. You've got to stubbornly refuse. You haven't joined up for a jolly ride on a roller coaster. You have joined the family of God. You have joined the army of God. We are not a bunch of toddlers. We are a bunch of adults that say the world is a tough place, but we've been given victory over it. Amen. We will stubbornly refuse. Any of you has ever thought that your stubbornness was something that God needed to deal with because it was bad? This is the redemption of it. All right, not to be stubborn against the word of God, but to be stubborn in the word of God. If you're really one of those awkward so-and-sos that won't budge, praise the Lord. Now redeem that awkward so-and-so-ness to be stubbornly refusing to give away your freedom. It's not bad, it's a good thing. You just got to use it the right way. It's like anger. People think, oh, I'm an angry person. I really need to deal with this. Well, you need to deal with it when it leads you to sin. But if your anger is driven into a righteous anger to see the justice of Jesus and the salvation of Jesus in our town because of the way some people are treated, then your anger becomes a gift. Bad emotions are not just all a curse. They're a part of what makes us human, and they can all be redeemed. Is sadness from the devil? Not necessarily, no. We feel sad because of certain circumstances that drives us with a passion to overcome them. Come on. Yeah, even pain in our bodies. You think, well, pain can never be right, surely. But if we didn't have pain, we'd end up breaking limbs, we'd end up cutting ourselves. Our bodies would be a complete wreck if we didn't suffer from pain. If we were never afraid of breaking our arms or legs or limbs, we'd end up breaking them all and be totally useless. So actually, pain is a gift to stop us smashing this body up. But that's the physical. But mentally and spiritually, we can suffer pain because it's like a warning. It's like an alarm going off. Woo, 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 woo. You're going in the wrong direction here. This is hurting. Yeah, well, maybe it's not the right direction. What's God saying? You know, you're not a lesser Christian if you're not well today, if you're sick today, if you're not got full ability, if you've got a disability certificate. You're not a second-class Christian because we're all here by grace, and some of us are just facing different battles at different times. We can overcome everything, yes, in the name of Jesus, but never, ever, ever does some form of disease, disability, poverty, anything like that mean we're not as good as the person sitting next to us. Because everybody's here by grace. It's the world that says that person's better because they've had a university education. What a load of rubbish. They're just using, presumably, what God has given them, which is to get a university degree, you need some measure of intellect and wisdom. So they're using that to get the degree. So that's good. Well, praise God on that. Maybe that's not your strength. Maybe your strength, maybe your freedom is you're emotionally intelligent. You can control your emotions, and you're very good at understanding how other people feel. And so you are able to relate to other people. Now, it may be that you don't have a university degree, but you're just as intelligent as the person that's got the university degree. It's just that our world doesn't give university certificates for being emotionally intelligent or physically intelligent. Maybe you're absolutely awesome at sport. Maybe you're absolutely awesome at all these things. You are well blessed. But are you using it? You know, let's use what we've got. Because when we use the talents that we've got, they will multiply. You will only increase. And some of us, you weren't given to refer to a parable that you may or may not know of. Some of you have not started out with 10 talents. Some of us start out with one. Let's use the one. We're not going to bury it in the ground, as the parable talks about. Let's use it and see that multiply. And then you'll be the person with two, and then you'll be the person with four, and then you'll be the person with eight. Yeah? I write to you as your apostolic father. Now, what's going on? I need to give you a little bit of background, because otherwise it won't make much sense of what's going on here in the area where all the Galatians live, which is where modern Turkey is today. And they were, by and large, actually, people from Western Europe. They were Celts that had settled in this area, the Galatians. And but there were lots of people that had become Christians in the area, but there were a lot of people that were coming in who were saying, it's great that you've got saved, now you need to follow all the rules and regulations of what it is to be a Jew. And Jesus obviously had replaced the law in that sense. He didn't get rid of it, but he's replaced it with a fulfillment of grace. And he says, and so the people that are coming in are saying, you've got to follow the Jewish festivals, you need to get circumcised, you need to do this, you need to do this. And so he says, he's addressing that. If you think there's a benefit in circumcision and Jewish regulations to make you holy, then you are acting as though Jesus Christ is not enough. That's so important, because it's so easy to get this kind of legalistic mindset that by doing that, it will make you gooder, better, more sophisticated, a more mature Christian. It's by grace. It's by grace. We're not going to achieve anything by being legalistic. But in our freedom, we can choose to live in holiness and righteousness. Amen? Which I would get to, but I doubt I will, given the time we've got here. But he says quite clearly, if you want to be made holy by fulfilling the obligations of the law, you've cut off more than your flesh, circumcision. You've cut yourselves off from Christ and fallen away from the revelation of grace. If you get into a place where I have to pray to be saved, or I have to do this to be saved, or I have to do this to be saved, you're cutting yourself off from the freedom that Christ has given you. We're all called to pray. We're all called to read the word. We're all called to go on the streets. But if we do it because it's the rules, we've lost the grace. Okay? Are you with me? But the Holy Spirit convinces us that we have received by faith the glorious righteousness of Christ. When you're placed into the Anointed One and joined to Him, circumcision and religious obligations benefit you nothing. All that matters now is the faith that is activated and brought to perfection by love. That's the Kingdom Faith original motto. In other translations it says, all that matters now is faith working through love. Faith without love is horrendous. It becomes like a sword piercing into somebody, causing pain. It can become, even the faith to believe for healing can end up hurting, because you're so, say Shona here is not feeling well, and I come to minister healing to her. If I don't minister with grace and love, I can leave her feeling miserable because the fact that she's not well, particularly if the prayer's not immediately answered at that moment. So you've got to come with love. If you say, you should be well, the Word of God says you are healed by the stripes of Jesus. If you're not healed right now, you wouldn't do it quite this bad, would you? But if you're not healed right now, you're not truly a believer in the Lord. All right? Now, you may think, I don't think that would happen. I've seen it happen. And instead of bringing love, people bring condemnation. Let's be careful that our words and our faith is spread with love. That's why when you meet someone on the street that says, I believe this, and you think, really? Wow. You know, you don't go into ridicule, because no one deserves ridicule. You can respect them for where they're at. You've not walked in their shoes. You don't know why they've arrived where they've arrived. You only know where you've arrived. So you need to show them love as well as share faith with them so that they can come into a position of faith. Yeah? We're not going out to spread condemnation or judgment. We're going out to share the love of God with a call to repentance, absolutely. But it's not our job to do the pointing out of the sin. That's the job of the Holy Spirit, to bring people to conviction. You can't lead someone to Christ without repentance. You have to repent. You have to turn around from making yourself boss of your life. You have to say, I want to turn from my life of sin and make Jesus Christ my Lord. You have to do that. You can't be so loved into the kingdom you don't bother with repentance. That's a nonsense. You have to repent and believe that he is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And then he can become your Lord and Savior. Okay, I mean, if you've not repented and you're sitting there and you love Jesus and you love coming to church, you're still very welcome here. We'll still love you. We'll still, you know, say come and be part of what we're having. But if you want to experience freedom, you have to repent. So when I'm talking about love, 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 I'm not saying we miss out the message of repentance, just in case that was running through your mind, you know. But what we don't do is we don't have to come up with a list of what people need to repent from, because it's in here and the Holy Spirit will reveal things to them that they need to deal with. An interesting thing is, isn't it, as anybody that's been a Christian here longer than a year will know, that as you grow in the Christian life and as you walk with Jesus, he points out new things. You know, you could have been a Christian 25 years and then the Holy Spirit brings a conviction about something that's wrong in your life. And you think, I've been doing that for 25 years. And he's only just brought to a point of conviction. You see, the Holy Spirit is interested in repentance that brings you to a place of freedom. He's not interested in leaving condemnation. So he knows the time to bring the conviction. We don't. And it's too easy just to point things out that are wrong, in the wrong aspect, because we're being judgmental rather than wanting freedom for somebody. Anyway, all that matters now is living in the faith that is activated and brought to perfection by love. Before you were led astray, you were so, that he's talking to the Galatians that are now following rules and regulations. Before you were led astray, you were so faithful to Christ. Why have you now turned away from what is right and true? Who has deceived you? The one who enfolded you into his grace, that's Jesus, is not behind this false teaching that you've embraced. Not at all. Don't you know that when you allow even a little lie into your heart, it will permeate your entire belief system? All right, this is why you've got to read the Bible. Because even if you just watch the God Channel, you've got some people on there that aren't always preaching out of good motives. And there are some things on there that are not good. And you don't want those lies permeating your belief system. You want them to be pure. There's only one way to know God in purity, and that's to read his word and listen to the Holy Spirit and expect confirmation when you're with at times like this on a Sunday as to what God is saying to you. Yeah? We don't want those little lies. Those little lies that are away from the gospel. They're called deception. Deep in my heart, says Paul, I have faith that the Lord Jesus Christ, who lives in you, will bring you back around to the truth. And I'm convinced that those who agitate you, whoever they think they are, will be brought under God's judgment. Dear friends, why do you think the religious system persecutes me? It is because I preach the message of being circumcised. Is it because I preach the message of being circumcised and keeping all the words of Judaism, all the laws of Judaism? Not at all. Is there no longer any offense over the cross? To tell you the truth, I am so disgusted with all your agitators who are obsessed with cutting. I wish they'd go further and cut off their legalistic influence from your lives. Now, if you read it in the Greek, some of you are laughing because you know what it really says. If you don't know it, would you like to know what it really says? Because I think Paul's just a little bit rude here. What Paul actually says was, I am so disgusted with those that are teaching this truth that you need to have your, basically, the foreskin cut off. I wish they'd go the whole world and cut the whole thing off. That's what he actually says. But he does. It's really, Paul? And it's in here in the Bible. But he is so righteously angry that these legalistic people are dragging people away from their freedom and back into bondage. And what he's saying is, he is saying what it says here. It's a metaphorical way of saying, I wish you, he's saying it both ways really. I wish they would be cut off from your congregation. And he's saying to them, look, cut yourselves off from that kind of thinking, because it's going to cause you problems. It's going to be the lie that grows. I'm going to finish in a couple of minutes. Let's have a look where we're going to go, because I can't read all of this. I like this in here, don't you? It's just sometimes to read the word in a different translation. I wouldn't study this one only, because it's got its own interpretation mixed in there. Not, I don't mean badly, but I mean not as purely as just reading a straight translation. There's great notes in these Passion translations as well that tells you why he's written it this way. Beloved ones, this is after the cut-off. Beloved ones, God has called us to live a life of freedom in the Holy Spirit. But don't use this wonderful freedom as an opportunity to set up a base of operations in the natural realm. Freedom means that we become so completely free of self-indulgence that we become servants of one another, expressing love in all that we do. True freedom is being free to serve others. For love completes the laws of God. All of the law can be summarized in one grand statement. You see, Paul isn't saying that the Lord is bad. The Lord is not bad. God gave us the law to teach us and educate us. Without the law, it would be difficult to tell right from wrong. But he's saying the law is summarized in love. He says, demonstrate love to your neighbor, even as you care for and love yourself. Amazing. Oh yeah, you do need to care for and love yourself. Because if you don't, you're not as able to love and care for others and serve God. Don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? It's pure, it's holy. That's why we need to look after our bodies and not abuse them or misuse them. But if you continue to criticize and come against each other over minor issues, you're acting like wild beasts trying to destroy one another. How many churches end up in trouble over minor issues? It's there. It says don't. Forgive one another. Love one another. That's why it says love covers up a multitude of sins. It's not saying there's a whole lot of sins we don't need to worry about because love covers them up. It's saying that love will enable you to forgive. As you yield fully and freely to the dynamic life and power of the Holy Spirit, you will abandon the cravings of your self-life. For the self-life craves the things that offend the Holy Spirit and hinder him from living free within you. And the Holy Spirit's intense cravings hinder your old life from dominating you. The Holy Spirit is the only one who defeats the cravings of your natural life. So why give him? Why give the enemy opportunity when you can rely on the Holy Spirit? So then the two incompatible and conflicting forces within you are your self-life of the flesh and the new creation life of the Spirit. But when you are brought into the full freedom of the Spirit of grace, you will no longer be living under the domination of the law, but soaring above it. So the Holy Spirit sets you free to soar above legalism, but because you will live according to God's way. Let's finish with what Paul refers to, because he's saying, he's answering imaginary questions, I guess, from the Galatians about, well, what is the self-life? So he answers them. This isn't a full list. This is an example. What are the cravings of the self-life I'm referring to? They're obvious. Sexual immorality, lustful thoughts, pornography, chasing after things instead of after God, manipulating others. There's one that people miss out often. Hatred of those who get in your way. Not just when you're driving. Senseless arguments. Resentment when others are favored. You know, when someone gets something and you didn't, when you got overlooked, it's here as something that offends the Holy Spirit, the self-life. Temper tantrums, angry quarrels, only thinking of yourself. How about this one? Being in love with your own opinions. Being envious of the blessings of others, murder, uncontrolled addictions, wild parties, that's interesting, and all other similar behavior. The wild parties and uncontrolled addictions is coming from the Greek word, which basically contacts both. It's a word that means outrageous behavior, sexual behavior, and taking drugs is actually what it means. The word used, I can't remember the exact word, but it's where we get our word pharmacy from, hence the drug connection. Haven't I warned you that those who use their freedom for these things will not inherit the kingdom realm of God? But the fruit produced by the Holy Spirit within you is divine love in all its various expressions. This love is revealed through... So this is the list to focus on, not the negative list. You're not of those who fall away, you're of this lot. So let's grow these in our lives as the Holy Spirit gives them to us. Well, he's given them to us, so let's grow them. Joy that overflows, peace that subdues, patience that endures, kindness on display, a life full of virtue, faith that prevails, gentleness of heart, and strength of spirit. That's one of the best lists of the gifts of the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit that I've ever seen. Joy that overflows, peace that subdues, patience that endures, kindness on display, a life full of virtue, faith that prevails, gentleness of heart, and strength of spirit. Never set the law above these qualities, for they are meant to be limitless. Keep in mind that we who belong to Jesus, the Anointed One, have already experienced crucifixion. For everything connected with our self-life was put to death on the cross and crucified with Christ. We've now chosen to live in the surrendered freedom of yielding up to the Holy Spirit, so that we may never be found dishonoring one another or comparing ourselves to each other, for each one of us is an original or a masterpiece. We have forsaken all jealousy that diminishes the value of others. That was all of Galatians chapter 5. Praise God, eh?
Amen, amen, amen.
You had St. Paul preaching to you this morning. Well, let's be blessed. There's a lot going on. There's a lot to think about. There's a lot to be encouraged about. As we draw to an end, if there's anybody here this morning and you've not yet said yes to Jesus, you've not yet repented and said, I want to follow you, then come and see me afterwards, because this morning is your opportunity to come and experience this freedom that is in Christ. Don't think it's not for you. It's for you. God loved everyone so much that he sent his Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. And that's what we've been talking about. Driving on the left-hand side of the road. So if you've never prayed that prayer of dedicating your life to Jesus with anyone, please come and see me this morning before you go, and we'll do that together, and you can come and join this wonderful family in a way that is impossible to do, although you're very welcome always to be part here, but it's impossible to do until you've made that step. All right. If you also got things that you need to pray for, like sickness or that needs healing or other issues, come and talk to anyone that's sat here along the front row, and they will stand with you to see victory over that. Be blessed. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.